Thank you for joining us today for the Field Report. My name is Garrett Stubblefield. We got some great content here for you today. We're going to be talking Cowboys contract situations, the NFC and AFC team division predictions, who's got the most to lose this season, should we be too cautious with Ezekiel Elliott, and some other topics. But I am so excited for football to be back. Training camps underway across the NFL. It's great. So much content. I just love football. Glad it's back. Thanks for listening. Let's get started with the Ezekiel Elliott contract situation. Ezekiel Elliott wants to get paid. He wants to get paid just like Todd Gurley did last year after his third season, coming into his fourth season. And Ezekiel Elliott should get paid. He's averaged over 100 yards per game through his first 3 years. While Todd Gurley is only averaging 80 yards a game right now through his first 4 years. Zeke's got all the vision. He's tough as nails, durable, he eats. You see him on the sidelines, feed me. And he eats, they feed him. I love Ezekiel Elliott. I always try to draft him in fantasy. I just think he's great. He's been catching the ball more. His value just keeps increasing. But they got him for 2 more years. They did accept the 5th-year contract option on him, so they have him for this year and next year. And then you can tag him for cheaper than you're going to pay him as a top running back, which he's due the money for a top running back. So I think that's what I would do, is I would just sit on it and tell him, Zeke, we love you. You're our main focal point. We just want to see, if they do want to extend him, let's see if he can stay out of trouble until next season. Like Zeke, you stay out of trouble till next training camp. We're gonna make you the highest paid running back in the NFL. No one doubts his talent. Ezekiel Elliott has came to the NFL and lit it up. It's amazing, just what he has done. He was drafted high, expectations high. He's lived up to them. I remember watching him just destroy my Oregon Ducks in the national championship game. Just was a monster. It was very disheartening, but I love Ezekiel Elliott. I think they should pay him, but can they? Is the real question? I don't think they should pay them now because they have so many contracts they need to get done. And let's look at the priority. I think the top 4 contracts they should be actually focusing on right now. Dak Prescott, he should have already been signed. You should have signed him before they extended Carson Wentz. I know everyone's freaking out about the Carson Wentz extension, saying they gave this guy $32 million a year. While, Dak's won more games. Dak has more yards. Dak has higher percentages. Dak runs the ball. Yes, that is true. But they extended him. It wasn't a new contract. When you factor out the extension over the last 2 years of his rookie deal, it only comes out to about $26 million a year. So that's not that crazy of a deal. What I think Dak should get and what the Cowboys should give him is, hey, look what Derek Carr got. Look at, when he got signed for about 15% of the total cap. He got $25 million a year. So if we factor that in now, we look at about $28 million a year. I think that's a great number for the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, even though he hasn't been in the league that long. He's only been in the league 3 years. He runs, so, there's always risk he could get injured. But, if you're going to sign Dak Prescott, $28 million a year. I think that's a great number to focus on. The Cowboys should get it done at that number. Maybe a 4-year deal. Maybe not a 5-year deal, just because of the durability. He hasn't done it as long. He's been durable, but will he stay that way? He does run. Dak is one of the best at running the ball in the red zone. I think he's ranked number 1. I still like Cam Newton better running the ball in the red zone, but you can't deny when you're in the red zone, Dak's a threat. He gets between those pylons over and over again. I love Dak Prescott. He's great. He's fun to watch. Sometimes he looks a little, bored out there, actually, during the regular season when they're not playing in those prime time main games, but he's owned the NFC East. He's done it. They need to sign him. They need to get this done. He's their quarterback. If they're gonna bet on him, bet on him. Go. It's Stop wavering. Just sign the deal. But do not sign that deal for $32 million. That would be crazy. He's not a $32 million a year quarterback. He's in that 15% range, you know. I think we should look at, because the cap is, just keeps going up and up because the NFL is just great. They get, you know, they get more money every year. So signing for 28, that deal's going to, you know, by the time that deal's over, that's going to be pushed down to the 14, 13% of the salary cap. You can't, you got to try to actually save some money on this deal. Look at, I mean, the Rodgers deal's kind of hurting the Packers. Garoppolo deal. You just don't, you know, Wentz, I would have never given Wentz that contract extension, but like I said, it did factor out when you took into account the last 2 years of his contract, averages out to more about $26 million a year. So that's, I mean, it's not terrible, you know, that's about 14% of the salary cap. And then next, which I think this contract's going to get done before any of them, just because the way he carries himself, it's Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is, you know, one of the quietest guys in the league. Doesn't like to talk. Just likes to go out and show his stuff. That's what he told reporters when they asked him about his contract. Hey, I just want to go out there and prove that I belong in the top echelon of wide receivers, which he does. They should have signed Amari Cooper anywhere between that $16 million to $18 million range. There's a lot of wide receivers at the $16 million range. With the salary cap going up, probably looking at more $17, $18 million. And I'm fine with that number. I think the Cowboys would be fine with that number. Amari Cooper is one of the smoothest route runners ever. He came into the NFL as just an incredible route runner. He gets in and out of his breaks very quickly. He does everything the same. Very deceiving. Only thing, question mark, have about Amari Cooper is, will those drops come back up like they did in Oakland? I know he wasn't happy being with the Raiders, obviously, so I'm glad he actually got traded out of there as a Raiders fan. Sucks to see that potential go, but it looks like it's worked out for the Raiders. It's worked out for the Cowboys. You know, it's a win-win trade. You don't see that every day in the NFL or any league, really. But the third contract, I think this is, you know, the hardest one to decide on. I think it should be Byron Jones. Byron Jones, since moving from safety to corner, has excelled, been great. The combine, we all know he broke the long jump world record. He's fast, he's big, he's long, got those long arms. Like to see, you know, maybe some more interceptions, get the hands on the ball more, but Byron Jones is awesome. I think any team in the NFL will take him. The Cowboys need to get him signed. I don't know what that contract would look like, but I know just based on intangibles and numbers alone, Byron Jones is going to get paid. He's going to get paid big in the NFL. Everyone wants good corners, and they got a top tier one. And then, not saying he's the least they should prioritize because he's great, but that'd be Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith, we all came into the NFL second round pick. A lot of people thought Dallas reached on him because he could not play his rookie year with that injury. He has come in, and he has been quick, hard-hitting. He's smart. I mean, he's great. He's a total package. He's everything we thought he was before the injury. He came out and has just dominated the league. Him and Leighton Vander Esch make one of the most feared linebacker duos in the league. No one wants to throw anything short, run the ball, do anything against the Cowboys with those two. I mean, they're monsters. Monsters in the middle. I'd say you got to keep both of those guys. But, can you pay all these guys? If we did a group total of $68 million, which is kind of what I went around, if we got Dak at 30, because I know he was saying he wants the $32 million range, Amari at 17, maybe we can get Jalen at the Cowboys can get Jalen at 11, 12, all same for Byron Jones, 11, 12 million, come out to around $70 million. That's about all they have left in cap. They can make a couple moves, you know, some players that aren't guaranteed money next year, make some more room, but that leaves, you know, no room for the Zeke contract, which, again, you don't have to pay. They have the luxury of having him for this season, next season, and then they could franchise tag him if it's still there. We are dealing with the CBA. That might be gone by the time they get to that point. So that's something to also think about. But I like the Cowboys. They're my NFC East prediction to win the division, although I'm very skeptical of them. Throughout my entire life, the Cowboys have usually done the opposite of what everyone expects them to do, or, you know, they just, you can't read the Cowboys. They're completely unpredictable. Always fun to watch, but are they going to be 8-8? Are they going to have another, you know, the Tony Romo years, 8-8 Cowboys that underachieve and look lost at times? Remains to be seen. I know if I had to choose a sleeper or the best value for that division, I'm going with the Washington Redskins. I think everyone is undervaluing the Redskins. I know Joe Theismann came out and said they should not start Dwayne Haskins, but I love Dwayne Haskins. He was my number one rated quarterback for the draft. He's great. I know a lot of people probably look at him and think he's a running quarterback. Not at all. When he was at Ohio State, he wanted to throw the football. He was not trying to look to scramble out and run. He was trying to push that ball downfield with those great wide receivers they had at Ohio State. I don't think that was I think that was a product of him, not just the wide receivers. He's one of the best in the game. He's not not the best in the game. One of the best in the game of college football last season. He threw for tons of yards, tons of touchdowns. I think he's going to come to Washington and be great. I know they've been trying to upgrade that wide receiver core for a while now. Hopefully they can stay healthy, because that was the main concern last year. They were a great team last year before they just got destroyed with injuries. I mean, every possible position got injured, it felt like, last year. Hopefully they can get that Trent Williams contract done, so you get him at left tackle, blocking that blind side for Dwayne Haskins, and Darius Geis coming back. That offense can be good. That offense can be really good. A lot of people are sleeping on the Washington Redskins. I'm not. I think they could go, you know, they can push for this division. This division does not have back-to-back division winners often. I can't remember how many years it's been, about 12, since somebody's won the division back-to-back. I think that was like Andy Reid and the Eagles. So it's been a while. We'll see what they can do. I'm definitely going to be rooting for the Redskins. Just the whole Alex Smith debacle, the amount of quarterbacks they went through, the amount of injuries they went through. They deserve to get it done. They deserve, you know, to be good. Plus, I like Jay Gruden as a coach. I think he's done a great job in Washington. Has had terrible luck, terrible, just everything's gone wrong. It's wrong, it seemed like that could. And then next, we will look at who has the most to lose this year in the NFL. I got five guys that, while they don't all have the most, you know, comparable things to lose, the first one has the most, by far. And that's Derek Carr, quarterback for my team, the Oakland Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders. Derek Carr has been a shell of himself since he injured himself on Christmas Eve against the Colts, once he broke his leg. Yes, he looked good. He looked okay the start of the next season, and then he had that, you know, fracture in his back. And since then, he's played on his tippy toes, it seems like. He's not, he can't scramble. He doesn't want to get hit. He's just trying to throw the ball out. That could change this year. You know, they've provided him all the weapons he needs. Antonio Brown, Tyrell Williams, drafting Hunter Renfrow, Ryan Grant at the slot. They have tons of weapons. Yes, they lost Jared Cook. He loves his tight end. But I think they replaced him and then some. They also went out and got Josh Jacobs at the running back position. Everybody seems to be on the same page that we need to give Derek Carr everything he can to succeed. But if he does not, the Raiders have to cut ties and he will not be the quarterback when they come to Vegas. They have given him the contract. He has not lived up to it. He has not came out and done what he was supposed to do. I love Derek Carr. He says all the right things. He brings his teammates up. He's always happy. He's a great person. But this is the NFL. You have to win. You have to win in the NFL. Next year we have three good quarterbacks coming into the draft. If the Raiders are drafted in the top 10 or near the front, they're taking one of those quarterbacks. You can bet on it. There's no way they're passing up Tua Tagovailoa. If he's there when they're picking, they're taking him. He is a monster. Tua Tagovailoa is. He can scramble, which is what I think they need, you know. A lot of people don't know this. Derek Carr is one of the fastest quarterbacks in the league. Just from 40 time, he was faster than Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, Baker Mayfield, and Josh Allen, who just broke the rookie rushing record. So Derek needs to scramble. He needs to be quick on his feet and throw the ball downfield. If he gives Antonio Brown and Tyrell Williams time, they're going to get open deep. And he is a pretty good deep ball thrower. He's just got to move, man. If he can get around and throw the ball, I don't see why they wouldn't keep him around. He's great. I mean, he was great in 2016. Was probably one of the top MVP candidates before he broke his leg. I think Derek Carr has a lot to lose this season because he could be gone. I mean, and there's not that many quarterback needy teams, so will he even be starting in 2020? Remains to be seen. Next on my list, staying close, is Jimmy Garoppolo. I love Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he is he's got a great arm. He's smart. He sees things. I don't know if that was Bill Belichick, but he's good. But you can't stay, if you're not in the field, you know, your best quality is your availability. That translates to durability, and he has been anything but. I mean, he averages like an injury every two games, I think, so far in his career, and that's just not going to cut it. He can scramble. Jimmy Garoppolo can get out, throw the ball on a dime. He's got a great arm. They haven't put the best pieces around them. I don't know why they didn't go out and get Antonio Brown. I can't believe they didn't go out and get Antonio Brown, honestly. It's pretty crazy. Or not Antonio Brown. Or Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham. If they would have got one of those guys, I think Jimmy Garoppolo, it wouldn't even be a question. If he just stayed healthy, that offense is going to roll. But instead, they went out and they drafted last year Dante Pettis, this year Deebo Samuel. Those guys are okay, good, not great. They're not number one receivers. I don't think Deebo is going to turn into a number one receiver. He wasn't my top receiver this year. That would have been Keneal Harry, who I think is going to be very good on the Patriots. I know Patriots rookie wide receivers don't really turn out, but anyway. But Garoppolo, they don't have that. You know, they didn't go out and they didn't get a bell cow running back. They got, Jerick McKinnon. I think he had a miss. He's got a setback already this season. So, I mean, coming off that ACL, I wouldn't expect anything from him. So you really just got Tevin Coleman, Matt Breida, and the rookie they drafted, Jalen Hurd. So you're not going to be pounding the rock. You know, I know that's not Shanahan style anyway, so maybe they're going to do something we haven't seen before. Maybe a lot of two-back sets coming out, throwing the ball to the running back a lot. They got George Kittle. He is the man there. George Kittle is great, but everyone knows it now. Everyone's focus is going to be on George Kittle. Taking him away, then what are you going to do? That's what I want to know, is what are you going to do after when they take away George Kittle? So we'll see. Jimmy Garoppolo, are they going to stick with him? If he gets injured this year, are you going to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo in 2020? I don't think so. I think he's gone. And like I said, you're either going to be drafting a quarterback or you're going to be looking free agent market. Maybe Derek Carr. Maybe we'll be seeing Derek Carr stay in the Bay and just go over, play with the 49ers. I don't know. I think my guys, Guy Haberman and John Middlecoff, listen to them over at the Ham Podcast. They talked about it. I think that would be pretty funny, but I don't think it'd be too wise. If I was 49ers, I wouldn't do that. I'd go with, you know, Tua, Herbert, or Fromm. I think those guys are going to be great. Or take 2020 and go get Trevor Lawrence. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is, I think the Raiders or the 49ers, if they decide to move off of Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr, and you're not sold on, you're not in position or not sold on one of the three next year, tank for Trevor Lawrence. He's going to be awesome. I know the Raiders really can't come into Vegas. They got to sell tickets. They got to make money. You know, they got to have a good opening, just like the Golden Knights did here in Vegas. So we'll see. The next, I have a couple more quarterbacks and one more wide receiver for most to lose next year. Next one is going to be Marcus Mariota. He's got a lot to lose as well. We could be seeing Mariota out of this league. He's from my Oregon Ducks. Love him, you know, but he doesn't have that want, that will, it seems like, you know. He doesn't lead the way you want him to. He's tentative in the pocket. He hasn't been accurate, which was weird because everyone thought that was his biggest attribute coming out of college, is he's just an accurate quarterback, not the strongest arm, but he can put it on the money every time. Hasn't happened. They even have surrounded him with a good offensive line. Their weapons, though, have been just awful. I mean, if the Titans have a good wide receiver this century, it's seemed like no. But comment if they have, because I just can't think of one. Corey Davis isn't popped. I haven't seen him do anything spectacular in his first few years in the league. So we'll see what they do. Delanie Walker's awesome, but he's getting up there in age. He's not the same player he was a few years ago. Came off injury last year. We'll see if he can bounce back this year. I like Mariota. I really, really hope he turns out. But Titans, another one that could need a quarterback next year. So, they, you know, this year is a lot, is a prove-it deal. For Mariota, also Jameis. I think Jameis is going to bounce back with Bruce Arians, though, so I didn't put him on this list. But both those four teams, those are my four teams might be looking into quarterbacks next season. And then we'll see, maybe this other team is going to be, because I have also Josh Rosen is one of the most to lose next season with the Dolphins. I love Josh Rosen coming out of college. He was one of my top quarterbacks last year. You know, he was drafted fifth of the quarterbacks last year. Or no, was he fourth? I can't remember. He's fourth or fifth. So we'll see how he does in Miami. They don't have the best receivers there. They got two decent backs in Kalen Ballage and Kenyon Drake. I hope Josh Rosen does well. I'm rooting for the guy. He was given the worst situation last year possible of any of the rookie quarterbacks with Steve Wilkes is their head coach. That offensive line was just horrendous. I can't believe they threw him into the fire like that and then left him. It made it act like, oh, he's not our guy. It was, you know, we didn't win with him last year. We're going to draft Kyler Murray. I thought that was a joke. The Cardinals are just, they're a second tier franchise for sure, the way they handled their quarterback situation. But if Josh Rosen doesn't, you know, if it was him and he doesn't come out and perform this year or show a spark or something, you can build forward, they're probably going to move off of him. I mean, he's not due the most money for his contract, so they can move off of him and then draft one of the guys next year if they're drafting at the top. And then last, maybe not most to lose as far as job-wise or position-wise or money-wise, but I think the most to lose was the Steelers and Juju Smith. Every Steelers fan I see is glad Antonio Brown's gone. But do they understand that Antonio Brown is one of the most game-planned against wide receivers in the NFL? He drew double coverage all day long for the Steelers. That's why Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell and James Conner have ran all over the place in the NFL. Is because Antonio Brown is opening up the field. He's got two guys focused on him only and beats those two guys consistently. He's a stud. He's one of the hardest workers in the NFL. Has a chance to break Jerry Rice's record. If he keeps going at the pace he's at for another like 8 or 9 years, he's going to do it. I'm very happy Antonio Brown is on the Raiders. Like I said, I think it is a win-win in that Cowboys-Raiders trade. They got Antonio Brown. Also turned that other pick into Josh Jacobs. So they got to reform their offense. Amari Cooper's doing so much better in Dallas. So that was great. But Juju, who I love, you know, you see him playing Fortnite with Travis Scott and Drake and ninja. It was awesome. You know, he's always connecting with the fans. He's always giving back. He was one of the youngest players. He's fun. He's, you know, he's great. He's made all the catches. But the coverage is going to be on him, just like it was Antonio Brown. They're going to game plan just like that for Juju. And there's no one else. You know, they're just going to be focused on Juju Smith-Schuster. They didn't bring in another weapon. Everyone's going to say James Conner. James Conner's going to do this. James Conner's going to do that. James Conner has proved nothing without Antonio Brown. We will see how he does. That offensive line is good, yes. But the Steelers have a lot to lose because they just let these guys go for a third round and fifth round pick. That's all they got for Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, you cannot, in the NBA, if you let guys like that walk without trading them for, I mean, that's just insane. So, yeah, the Steelers have a lot to prove, a lot to lose. Not necessarily Juju, but just the Steelers as a team. And they also, so that's something to look forward to, is the Steelers, Juju Smith-Schuster, how's he going to handle all this attention by defensive backs? And next we'll be talking Saquon Barkley. So it's been, I don't know, 48 hours into Giants training camp, and the Giants have lost countless wide receivers. Golden Tate got suspended 4 games. He's appealing to it. It sounds like a good case, but we'll see. They lost Sterling Shepard to a thumb. He broke his thumb, so they're gonna, you know, hopefully get out of that. Corey Coleman tore his ACL. Everything that can go wrong is going wrong for the Giants. And that is, they are going to see the most stacked boxes any team's going to see this year is going to be the New York Giants. Because, one, they're going to start Eli Manning, and he's not going to have a wide receiver to throw to. Only one is going to be Evan Ingram on that team, who probably is going to be able to catch a pass in the first 4 weeks, and Saquon Barkley. And Saquon Barkley is, all eyes are going to be on him. They're going to stop him. Every team, they're just going to be like, we stop Saquon, we win. That's all. That's all we got to do is stop Saquon Barkley. We're going to win this game. Can they do it? I don't know. Saquon's a beast. I mean, the guy's a machine. You should watch, if you haven't watched any of his workout videos, he's insane. Like, I'd love to just see him and Antonio Brown together every single day pushing each other, and they'd be the greatest, you know, the greatest workout partners they could have, because Saquon's legs and just physical strength is insane. You see him just with these huge medicine balls, just throwing them like they're toys. But should I draft him number one in fantasy? Should I draft him, you know, top three in fantasy with Ezekiel and Alvin Kamara, my top three guys? I don't know. I'm very cautious of it because if everyone's game planning to stop this guy, yeah, he's going to get the touches, but if you're seeing 8-9 people in the box, what are you gonna do? Like, you're not gonna get away from that. This numbers, you can't match up against that. So, I don't know. Be cautious with Saquon Barkley. Let me know what you think. Where are you drafting him in your fantasy football league? And then last, we got the AFC's predictions. This one's gonna be short. The Patriots are gonna win the division. There's no one who's gonna win that division. Tom Brady can get injured. The Patriots are probably still gonna win the division. Their schedule is a joke. Let's just go over the Patriots' schedule right now. All right, I'm gonna start the year first game against the Steelers. That's gonna be a win. Patriots have owned the Steelers. It's in Foxborough. It's going to start the year. It's a primetime game. That's going to be a win. They're going down to Miami. Patriots have played terrible in Miami, but start the year, they usually play late, terrible, you know, in the middle of the year. You know, you go down to Miami, you want a vacation. It's nice in the winter, coming from Foxborough. That's going to be a win. Then they play the Jets. That's going to be a win. Bills going to be a win. Redskins are going to be a win. Giants going to be a win. Jets going to be a win. Then they play the Browns. That's a toss-up game. Then they play the Ravens. they're going to beat the Ravens. Then they play the Eagles. That's a toss-up game. Play the Cowboys. That's a toss-up game. Then they go play the Texans. They're going to beat the Texans. Play the Chiefs. That's a toss-up game. They're going to beat. Then they play the Bengals. That's a win. They play the Bills. That's a win. They play the Dolphins. That's a win. So they have 1, 2, 3, 4 toss-up games. If they go 50-50 in those toss-up games, they go 14-2. The Patriots are winning the division. The Patriots are getting a top-2 seed. I hate the Patriots. Just because one of the first football games, you know, first getting into it was a Tuck rule, and I've hated them ever since. So I am very biased against the Patriots. But you can take this to the bank. They're winning the AFC East, and they're going to be they're going to get a bye. So they're going to be in the divisional round playoffs with a home game. Probably going to be seeing them in the AFC Championship game again. So you can take that to the bank. The Patriots are going to win the AFC East. That's a guarantee. I mean, that's usually a guarantee every year. Has anyone ever been so lucky as the Patriots dynasty to be in that division? I mean, for real, they've lucked out for so long now. I just can't believe it. So I really think they should reorganize these divisions. I know, just something to think about. You know, put the Colts back in the AFC. So let's get a rivalry going. Let's see the Patriots and Colts play 2 times a year. I don't. Anyone who thinks the Patriots are going to fall off a cliff this year. Not this year, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. How I wish it would happen. It'd be amazing, but I don't think it's going to happen. Let me know who you got winning the AFC and NFC East, and who you're drafting number one overall in your fantasy things. You can check us out on... we have a website. It's going to be WCSSports.com. It's West Coast Sports. Also on Instagram... It's going to be West Coast Sports at Sports West Coast. You can DM me any questions you got there. But check us out all over the web. This podcast will be put up everywhere. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.